Mike Dubin, hello, friend, and greetings once again in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. O beloved, the Lord Jesus is the only one who can satisfy the hunger of the human spirit. He's the only one that can satisfy the thirst of the human spirit. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ can you find real fulfillment, real meaning, real purpose for life. And how good it is to know and receive him into our life. Well, we see that Adam and Eve, God placed Adam to be the head of the home. And we've noticed that in the New Testament, where God elaborates on these truths concerning the husband's responsibility. And verse 17 of Genesis 3, unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Now notice, God warns the man concerning his listening to his wife. He has to use his leadership in regards to what his wife has to say. He has to make the final decision. That's why God made him the head of the home. The wife can be deceived in some of the things that she says, just as Satan deceived Eve. So there's that propensity in the wife to be deceived or to make wrong decisions, and that's why God placed Adam as the head of the home. And he said there that in Romans 5:8, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. Because we read before in Timothy that Eve was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. He knew full well that he was doing wrong and disobeying God. And thus God says, thou shalt not eat of it, the tree, because you listened to Eve and disobeyed me. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Notice that. God cursed the ground because of Adam's disobedience, because of Adam's sin. This old earth itself is under the curse of Almighty God. Because of sin. It's the curse of sin. That's why creation itself groans and suffers, as Romans chapter 8 explains. Creation itself is suffering because of man's sin. Sin, oh beloved, sin brings heartache. It brings grief. It brings sorrow. It brings sickness. It brings disease. It brings illness. It brings man being warped and twisted so that he does terrible and awful things to other human beings. Oh, the terrible consequence of sin entering into the world. And thus we see the Lord says, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Every time you reach for a rose and your fingers pricked, remember it was man's sin that caused that thorn to grow. It was man's sin that brought thistles into the world. And thistles spread around and create havoc in crops. And it's because of sin, beloved, man's sin. And thus we see, verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And thus the old body, we see the body returns back to the dust. And it was made out of the dirt of the earth, and God breathed into man the breath of life, we're told, and gave him life. And when we leave this physical body, if we know Jesus, go into the presence of the Lord. If we do not know Jesus, we go to that place, that temporary place of confinement called hell or Hades, where man who dies in his sin goes to until the great white throne judgment, when he appears before the judge of the universe and hears the sentence, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you," and will be cast into the eternal prison house of the lake of fire, that where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. The worm, the bacteria, the terrible suffering that those in the lake of fire will experience for the endless ages of eternity, which was a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels, but to which men, women, boys, and girls go who reject Jesus Christ, and there they will spend eternity. Yes, beloved, death is not the end of it all. Death is not the end. Man is not like an animal. That's why the theory of evolution is a false theory, a theory that's never been proved, because it can't be proved. It's a theory of Satan. It's a device of Satan to deceive and blind the hearts and minds of men and women, to make them act like animals, to make them do things like animals. But, beloved, man is not an animal. Man is a human being created in the likeness and the image of God. And thus man will continue to live on. Animals die, and they go into non-existence, but man lives on. And he will either live in the lake of fire or not live, exist is the word I should use, because that's not living, that's existing in the lake of fire, or he will live in the presence of Almighty God in the glorious, glorious New Jerusalem and the new heaven and the new earth and the wonderful future that God has prepared for those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and accept him as Savior. So, beloved, we've seen the reason that man needs a Savior. As we've looked into the Word of God, and we see in the beginning of the book of Genesis how that man fell into sin. From the very first, here in this book of beginnings, God explains why man needs a Savior and how man was separated from God. Because if we go ahead and read, we see that God took man and removed him from the Garden of Eden. Let me go ahead and read to you verse 21 of Genesis 3. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. That was the first picture of death, as animals were slain and coats of skin were made for Adam and Eve. And the Lord God, verse 22, said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever." And God didn't finish the sentence. It was too terrible. It was too awful to consider. Oh, beloved, listen. I know of Christians who have died of bone cancer, and to be delivered from this body of death was a glorious experience. To be relieved from the pain and from the suffering, to go into the presence of the Lord where there is no sin, where there is no suffering, where there is no pain, where there is no death. Oh, beloved, what a wonderful experience. As a matter of fact, did you know that I'm never going to die? Oh, this old earth suit I live in, called the body, it's going to die. But you see, beloved, the body is not Bob Griggs. The body is just the old earth suit that Bob Griggs lives in. like our men who go out into space. They have to wear a space suit in order to live out in space. So, beloved, we have an earth suit in order to live here on earth. But there's coming a day when we'll be leaving this earth suit. If we know Jesus Christ as Savior, we'll go into the presence of the Lord. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Beloved, I'm never going to die. Over in 1 John, he talks about loving our brother, and that he that loveth his brother has passed from death into life. Beloved, I've already passed from death into life eternal. I'm never going to die. I have eternal life. I have life that will exist and continue on forever and forever. I'm never going to die. This body, this earth suit I live in is going to die. But, beloved, it's not Bob Griggs. It's just the old tabernacle, just the old earth suit. As 2 Corinthians chapter 5 calls it, a tabernacle or a tent, a place of temporary dwelling where I live. But there's coming a day when Jesus is going to say, Bob, come home. And I'm going to leave this old earth suit. I'm going to go into the presence of my Lord. I'm going to go home to be with Jesus. Oh, beloved, death for the child of God is not a horrible and terrible experience. Death for the believer is a glorious evacuation or graduation from this old body into the presence of the Lord. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day when I'm called into the presence of Jesus Christ. And so, beloved, oh, how wonderful to know the Lord. And that's why Jesus came, to deliver us from the bondage of sin, to set us free. And so we read here that God took man from the Garden of Eden, lest he eat of the tree of life and live forever in this physical body with its pain and its suffering and its disease and its sin. And so God expelled man from the Garden of Eden. It was an act of love. But here in the Garden of Eden was where rejection began. And we've all been impacted by rejection. We all hate to be rejected, and we try to avoid it if we can. But it all started in the Garden of Eden. Till next time, goodbye.